How's everybody doing today? We're here. We made it. Hey, some days you just got to celebrate that, man. Seriously, right? That we're actually, we made it. You know, there. Sometimes you feel like all the forces of hell are against you getting here, just to being with God's people. And so have you gotten out to enjoy that stifling weather? Right? Yeah? If you get up early enough in the morning, it's not too bad. It reminds me of Nicaragua. You know, we were talking about this the other day, but we actually got out to, we went to the town of Nelsonville. How many people heard of Nelsonville, all right? Not far from Hocking Hills, and on Friday, we went down early in the morning, went on a bike ride. There's a 17-mile stretch, and it's pretty level, thank God, because I don't think I can handle much of an incline at this state right now that I'm in, but it was beautiful, and just refreshing. One of the things that I know Linda and I and I think probably the people that, some of the people that went with us to the pastor's conference were challenged with is to stop and rest. Kind of a Sabbath, you know, if you will. And I'm not going to give a message on the Sabbath today, but it was really challenging to me just to think about, you know, we have all kinds, I think, sometimes wrong ideas of this, of a Sabbath. And really, Sabbath is for us. It's for us to be replenished and renewed. And Linda and I were challenged with trying to do some things that would fill up our tanks emotionally, spiritually. And bike riding was one of them. So it was a fun time. And so that kind of fits a little bit with our theme today, a little bit in rest and letting God care for us. But before we get into that, I just want to mention a couple of things here. The cards that are in the seats either behind you if you're in the front row or in front of you if you're not in the front row, you can use to fill out, to do prayer requests, or if you want for information about the church, you know, just fill that out and put them in those response boxes. That's the same place right in the back there where we put our donations and stuff like that. If you give your tithes and offerings there. And so feel free to do that. Which really leads me to the next thing. And some of you were here to hear the stories of the trip to Nicaragua. And Philip Powers, who's sitting right here, he had had a conversation with Dr. Walter Bonilla, who runs this Total Health Clinic there in that location, because there's other locations in Central America of Total Health Clinics. And he had mentioned some needs of some equipment. And in response to that, people after our meeting that day said they were interested in helping provide for that, and so I kept a list, and I know Philip had some people that were interested in giving to the cause. And so anyway, we found out that the cost of the equipment is going to be $1,014.93 to be exact. Okay, and I'm very confident that the people that have said they were interested in participating in giving for this, it's good. We're going to raise more than that, which is awesome, because anything over than that is just going to go to help run that clinic. They rely on funds and donations through the nonprofit Total Health, and so it's exciting. So anyway, if you're looking, if that really excites you and you want to continue, if you would like to give to that, in this little kind of fund drive we're doing, then feel free to just fill out a check and give them the way you normally would, but in the memo, just put Total Health Clinic, and we'll do that. And if that's something that you have an ongoing heart for, you know, you can make regular donations to Total Health, the nonprofit, too. So we're going to kind of collect funds and then send one check to them for this particular project. But if that's something that you're excited about, you know, do it. Every person that comes in that clinic hears the gospel. And multiple times because they have, you know, repeat customers, right? It's just great. It's great. So anyway, that's all I have by way of announcements today. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord here as we get into His Word. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You provide for Your people, that You take care of us, and You have given us everything that we need in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing that we could ever want or need, You provide. And Lord, help us today to really have a heart to want to seek you, to want to look to you, to give our attention to you as the one who meets our every need. Lord, let us not look to things, other things or other people to be in that position which only you deserve, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd pour out your Spirit this morning. Help me to convey your truth. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be glorified through this time. And Lord, I also want to lift up people in our church family who might be sick, who might be struggling right now. Pray that you'd pour out your healing touch on them. I pray that you'd draw them close to yourself, those that are feeling far away, God, and just heal them in the deepest places of their soul where they need to be touched by you, Lord. And those that need physical healing, Lord, we pray that you'd bring it. And all for your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I sent out an email this week asking people to read through Psalm 23 and to really every day just give it 5 minutes and ask the Lord to kind of, you know, bring to your mind a focus on certain words or phrases that might, in a sense, kind of lift themselves off the page. That's kind of what happens when you read something and it strikes you, you know. And so I don't know if you got a chance to do that. Hopefully you did. I mean, just 5 minutes reading that. I mean, it didn't even take you 5 minutes to read. It took you at most probably even 30 seconds to read the 6 verses. And then to just ask God to speak to your heart and to show you what aspect of his care, right, do you need right now? And to realize that he is the sole provider of that care. And that's really something that I want to get across to us today, that I feel like God is really wanting us to focus in on this passage, is that he is the one that we have to constantly look to provide our every need, okay? And that's critical. If you're able to stand, why don't you stand with me, and let's read the passage of Scripture today. We don't do this every time, but I do like to do it periodically. We're standing in honor of the Word of God. And so let's read it together out loud here, Psalm 23, all 6 verses here. Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word. Please have a seat. First time I think I ever heard that was probably in a Sunday school in the little Baptist church I was raised in. I think we had to memorize it, which would not be an uncommon thing back then in the 70s. Yeah. 60s or 70s, I don't know which. I'm kind of forgetting my decades as to when I was there. But it's a good thing. This is a good thing to have in our memory banks, and not just for storage, but for bringing it up on a daily basis, right? And when you look at these first couple of verses, which is what we're going to do today, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. And then he says, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures, right? Leads me beside still waters. Those couple of verses, you really just get the sense that he's just saying, you know what? I'm the place of your contentment. I am, you know, think of a person being the one who brings us contentment. And it's the Lord Jesus, as we'll see here in a minute. If you look in John 10, he says, in John 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. That's what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. And so I think it's totally fine to think about Jesus as being that shepherd, as he is the one who's just providing and caring for us. And if I could say the sermon in a sentence, it would be this: that contentment and satisfaction come from our relationship with Jesus, our shepherd. Okay, now don't leave right now, it's because you got that. But that's the idea here that we want to really convey and look at and dive into, is just that contentment and satisfaction come from our relationship with Jesus. All right? And this is key. I mean, this is no little thing. I mean, it's one thing to kind of like make a declaration and kind of like say, I believe that theology, if you will. But it's another thing, really, to experience it and really daily act on that truth, right? To really look to Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Good Shepherd, right? And the first thing that comes to my mind when I read that first verse is, the Lord is my shepherd. It implies a shepherd-sheep relationship, right? And the shepherd would typically own the sheep, okay? At least I think you would want to actually have someone who is not just hired out from the outside, right? Jesus even talks about the hireling, right? First sign of trouble, the hireling is going to take off, right? But if they're actually the one who's responsible always for these sheep, right, then you're going to lay down your life for these sheep. You're going to protect them. So that leads us to the question, the Lord is my shepherd, or is he? Okay, that's the question for all of us, okay? Is he your shepherd? And so I want to take a look, if you have your Bibles there, or if you're looking up on a device, take a look at John chapter 10, that chapter I mentioned just a second ago. So in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 10. Now, I believe Scripture teaches us that, you know, there's a sense in which God is caring for everyone, okay? There's this general sense in which people, the Bible says that it rains on the wicked and the righteous, right? And so there's this general grace, if you will, that people experience. But now we're talking about being one of Jesus' sheep, a part of his flock, okay? Not just anybody, but someone who's a part of his flock. Let's take a look here, John chapter 10, again, verse 11, where he says, I am, this is Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So there's this ownership, right? He's saying these people he's calling my sheep, they're his. They belong to him, right? And so, well, how do you belong to him? How do you get into his fold, right? That's the question I want to answer sort of in short order here. Let's take a look, keep reading on. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Now, I think he's talking about, you know, the other sheep would be people who are not those of the people of Israel, right? God's people there. But he's saying, we're bringing in other people who will respond and hear the voice of Jesus and answer his call to come be part of the fold. So Jew and Gentile, right? Those who believe. And even Paul tells us, you know, one who is a Jew is someone who's really a Jew inwardly, who has circumcised heart, who really has put their faith in Jesus. That's who's a true Jew. That's who's really part of God's people, if you will say that, as the scripture tells us. Is anyone who's putting their faith in Jesus has had their heart circumcised, and which circumcision was a sign, a mark, a physical mark, that this is someone who is one of God's people, right? And so, being part of the fold here, he says, I have other people he's going to bring in the fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So they will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, he says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Well, he's talking about going to the cross here, isn't he? Jesus is talking about going to the cross. He's going to lay down his life, and then he's going to take it up again. He's going to raise from the dead. And I love this next few verses here where he says, no one takes it from me, meaning his life, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You see, Jesus willingly, he put himself in the position to die for us. He did that for you and for me because of his great love for us. And anyone who would acknowledge their need for forgiveness, knowing that their sin, that they do sin, and that separates them from God, if they will accept and receive the offering of Jesus' life on the cross, right, that he's saying he's laid down, if they receive that, then you can be then one of God's children. If you use that family analogy, or if you stick with the flock, you can be one of his sheep, right? Because earlier in John, he says, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And becoming a child of God is becoming one of his sheep. So, if you put your faith in Christ, you're in the fold, right? If you are counting on Jesus and Jesus alone and the forgiveness that he offers, you're in the fold, okay? If you're not, then you're not. I mean, it's that simple. You're either in or you're out, right? He talks about a separation in another place of the sheep and the goats, right? And there will be a separation one day, because someday it's really, honestly, it's very sobering when you hear Jesus say that on that day when there's a judgment, that he'll say, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, right? And say, hey, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And they'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Wow. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it, to think about people could actually do these miracles even apart from a true connection to Jesus Christ, right? And so it's very sobering, but it's in one sense, it's healthy for us to think about, where am I? Do I have a relationship with the shepherd? Is he my good shepherd? Right? So this morning, if there's any doubt in your mind that you are, then I encourage you to put your faith in him, call out to him, and ask him to forgive your sin, to come into your life, and to lead you as the good shepherd will do. Okay? And so this is critical, right? You got to know, am I in the fold? Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? I will only find true satisfaction and contentment as I look to Jesus. That's kind of the big idea again today, right? As I look to him. You see, we get into all kinds of trouble when we take our eyes off of Jesus, right? Which we could do. As followers of Jesus, we can kind of, we can wander away. I mean, that's a problem with sheep. Sheep wander. Okay, sheep need a shepherd. Has anybody raised sheep, or have you helped somebody raise sheep or something like that? Okay, so I've not raised any, but I helped show sheep at a fair one time. I really didn't know what I was doing. They just needed somebody to help them. They didn't have enough people to help show the sheep, so I got a quick crash course on how to show a sheep. My sheep didn't win anything, probably because I don't know how to show sheep. But anyway. Really, sheep are kind of stupid, all right? Anybody you ask that, any shepherd, they're pretty stupid, all right? You don't see any sheep at the circus, do you? Because they can't do any tricks, really. I mean, you know, it's just, they're just not all there. And so when we read in Isaiah that we like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned his own way, right? This is just reality. We are like sheep, and we are in need of a shepherd. We've got to see that. We need that, right? And in our culture of individualism, it kind of smacks against us when we are always told, be your own person, right? Don't rely on anybody. You can't rely on yourself and all this kind of thing. And I understand maybe a kernel of that. We need to learn to be independent, right? I don't want my kids living with me forever, right? And neither should you. Okay, because they got to learn to live independent lives. But that's not what we're talking about. Hey, we're talking about a prideful independence here. We need to see that we need the Lord. We need a shepherd, because without him, we'll go astray. And we have to keep our eyes on the shepherd and seek him. All right? And I really want you to dial in on this word, seeking him. Like, I'm going to bring it home at the end here, but this is critical. We have to be kind of on this this mode of always seeking, okay? I think about my phone. My phone you know, when I have the, we just flew, right? We flew to Nicaragua, and all these, right? And you have to put it in airplane mode, right? Well, when it's in airplane mode, it's not seeking out a signal anywhere, right? But when it's not in airplane mode, it's constantly looking for that tower that's next to you. It's constantly seeking, right? It's like the default, right? And that's the way our hearts need to be toward God. We need to be seeking in this relationship with Jesus. So I'm talking about, we already have a relationship with Jesus if you're one of his sheep. But now we're talking about looking to the shepherd, seeking him as the one who only can meet our deepest needs, okay? Because we can look to all other things, all kinds of things, relationships, a better job, you know. Now, relationships are great. They're a gift from God. So is work. Work is not, there was work before the curse, right? I know Doug talked about work here not long ago. Work's a good thing. But it's not going to meet our deepest needs. Okay. Only the Lord Jesus himself, only our shepherd, the good shepherd, can really meet those needs. Now, there was a guy who wrote a book. His name's Philip Keller. Some of you may even know of it. It's talked about a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. I might have the title butchered, but he was a shepherd. And he looked at Psalm... What? She's got the book right there. What's the title?
A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23.
Yeah, Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. That's the book. Hey, that's cool. Wow. Read my mail right there. That's cool. Yeah, so he writes on this stuff, talks about from an actual shepherd's perspective. And one of the things, when we get to this verse that talks about he makes me lie down in green pastures, has, I think, an interesting insight. Because sheep have a need here in order to be lying down and being at rest, okay? That several things have to be happening and provided for them if they're going to lie down, okay? And so I'm giving you a hint over here to the right in yellow, because by the time we're done with these four things, I want you to see that the shepherd is the one. His presence, the presence of the shepherd, meets all the needs. Okay? So, one of the things, the first thing we're going to look at that sheep need in order to lie down and be at rest is they need to know that everything's safe and it's secure, right? They need to be free from fear, and this makes total sense. I mean, a flock of sheep, they're a skittish bunch, right? One little sound, and boom. You know, and the one that saw whatever it was that might be a threat took off, and the other ones just followed. I mean, they don't even know what it was. They're just, whoo, we're gone, right? I read this story, I should have printed it off, about this Turkish flock of sheep that went off a cliff. There was 1,500 of them. Just went like this because one went, right? And it just shows the danger of following the sheep instead of following the shepherd, right? You got to be careful, right? But safe and secure. You know, and you see these sheep are running from something. We don't know who or what, but maybe it's a wolf, right? But they're not going to lie down in green pastures, and they're not going to be at rest unless they have this provided for them, safety and security, all right? Safety and security are critical for them to be at rest. So now, let's take a look here, John 14. We talk about how are we going to get this freedom from fear. Let's take a look at John chapter 14, verse 27. Right, because we're freedom from fear. If you're free from fear, you're at peace, really. Okay, even regardless of the actual circumstances. Okay, is that it's kind of like I was thinking about this when we went down to Nicaragua, right? You know, the threat level down there, according to the State Department, was a 3 out of 4, right? 4 means do not travel. 3 means reconsider. In other words, you should change your mind. Okay, well, I knew that, and it wasn't like I was lying to anybody, But what I did, what I had some insider information in that the people that live there, I know and trust and would trust with my life. And I knew if they said it was fine to come down, we're good. They were not going to put us in harm's way. They would protect us and never put us in harm's way. And so even though, and I'm not dissing the State Department, they do what they do, they got guidelines, that's all good. But, you know, I was never afraid. And you know, we just totally at peace, regardless of what the threat level was, right? So when you look at this, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you," Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Jesus gives a peace that only he can give, okay? And again, we need to say we're seeking out the shepherd, that he is the only one that can really give me the sense of true security and safety, okay? I mean, you know, guys, when you look at the news, it's all going down, man. I mean, you got, is there a nuke going to happen somewhere? Is there World War III going to break out somewhere? I mean, you got the crisis at the border and all these people, and I mean, you know, and I don't have any answers whatsoever. But I'm just saying, you know, you look at that, and that doesn't just give me a lot of peace. If anything, it fills my heart with anxiety and like, you know, or you get all worked up, somebody ought to do something, you know, and even though we don't know what they ought to do, you know, or and so, but my peace and our peace comes from a person, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you back up one verse, actually two verses from there, look what he says. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." And then he says this, "Peace I leave with you." You know, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life can and does, he does give us peace in spite of whatever's going on. Okay? And so we look to the Lord Jesus, our shepherd. And you know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit was another helper, another comforter like him, right? But Jesus went to be the Father so he could send us the Spirit so that every believer, every one of his sheep, has the Holy Spirit, in a sense, the presence of Jesus, if you will, although I know they're distinct persons in the Trinity, but the presence of Jesus, if you will, by the Holy Spirit in every one of us. We have the shepherd with us wherever we go, right? What is it that Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission at the end of Matthew? He said, "Lo, I am with you wherever you go. Lo, I am with you." He's with us, right? By the Holy Spirit. And his peace he leaves with us. Not as the world gives peace. We can't look around us for the peace in our soul that we need, okay? That peace that deals with a difficult diagnosis, okay? Or a really rough relationship or whatever. I mean, the Lord can give us his peace, but I'm telling you, we won't have it. We won't receive it unless we look to him. Okay? We have to look to him. And I know that sounds elementary, but when something is happening, when it's going down, our default many times is to look outside, look elsewhere, except for the Lord, our shepherd. But we have to somehow, by God's grace, you know, lean on him and look for his peace and the safety and security that he provides. You know, ultimately, only the Lord knows what's going to happen in this world, tomorrow, next year, right? The question is, will you trust him with your future? Right? Do you trust he knows best? Do you trust his timing? Right? It's really an issue of trust. I was thinking this week about, there's an old, I don't know if it's an actual hymn. It might be in the category of a spiritual, but the 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, right? Just to take him at his word, right? And then it basically goes on. And one of the phrases that has stuck out to me in that song is, "Oh, for grace to trust him more." And that's what we need. We need God's grace to trust him more, right? Because maybe you're going to encounter something tomorrow that's bigger than anything you've ever faced. And you and I will need the grace, and he will give it. As we looked at, he will give it. He has abundant grace for us, for anything. As we look to him, grace to trust him more. Amen? I know I need to trust him more in all areas of my life. But that trust is exhibited by that seeking him and looking to him and trusting him. So, second thing is that sheep need, in order to be at rest and lie down, is harmony. Here you've got, I guess these sheep look like they're butting heads. It doesn't look all that exciting. Like, all the ones I found were these big old rams, you know, which does happen, which maybe I should use one of those. But sheep butt heads, all right? Sheep butt heads. And they fight that way. I mean, that's about the only way they could fight. I suppose they could bite, maybe kick. But they do fight. And you know what? It happens in the church, too. I mean, people don't butt heads. Well, yes, they do. They just not actually literally, right? They butt heads. You got different personalities. You got different passions. Yeah, you throw them in a room. Boom, you're going to have fireworks, man. Unless you have the oil of the Spirit, right? That those personalities, those different passions that God's put within them, and their little quirks, and their the fact that they're still sinful, right? You mix it all up, and there's a tendency for there to be fighting. It takes the Holy Spirit, the presence, again, presence of the shepherd by the Holy Spirit for us to be able to be in harmony and unity in the church. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to always agree on everything, because that's never going to happen, okay? But that there would be this mutual submission that we read about in Ephesians, this mutual submission to one another. Actually, the shepherd himself said, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came as a servant, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me, okay? He came to serve. And so he's that model for us. And as we have the Holy Spirit working on us, as we look to him and rely on him and yield to him, right, you see the following happening. Why don't you turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're stuck on this verse, part of that verse that says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, how's he going to make me lie down? He's going to supply these needs. He's going to meet these needs. The first one was security, right? Now we're on Philippians chapter 2, all right? Verse 3 says, do nothing from selfishness and nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Do you know how hard that is? Oh man, I've got so much selfishness bound up in my heart, it's not even funny. We all do. And it's going to take an act of God to root it out over time. And it is a process, right? To be able to look to the needs of others and not our own takes an act of God. And as he says here, to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Verse 4, let each of you look not to only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He's like, you have the mind of Christ, now put it on by the power of the Spirit. Right? He's saying this is something that's available to us, but will we access it? Or will we just continue to, it's all about us, right? WIIFM, what's in it for me, right? That we're so dialed into that station because that is in our heart, all right? And we need the power of God to root it out. Let's tell you a little stupid thing that happened yesterday. A little stupid thing. So I've been looking for some shirts, okay? I have a shirt thing. I'm looking for shirts because I got like 3 shirts I wear on Sunday morning. I'm like, hey, I want some shirts, right? I deserve some shirts, don't you think? So I got this email from an online retailer, okay? And they're having a closeout special, right? Ding, 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 right? I'm like, oh, look at that shirt. That looks awesome. That'll be great on Sunday. Yeah, give me that shirt, right? Boom, in my checkout box. Boom, it comes to my house. Boom, it's too small. Hey, but no problem, right? The age we're in, I just go on. Hey, man, I'll just change. I'll take it to the local store. I'll order another one. Bigger size, okay? Well, so it finally comes. And I Linda could tell you how excited I was. This is so stupid. I can't even believe it. And she'd be like, because I'd be like, look, checking my email. And it's like, oh, what's the tracking say? Where is it? How many stops till it gets to my house? You know, all this. It's just, I've got a problem. And so it came to my house. Of course, I'm ripping the package open. I'm trying it on. And I'm thinking, oh, this is great. Linda's like, no, it's not. She's like, it's like you got, it's bunching up over here. It's too big. The other one's too small. This is too big. I said, I got one. I don't have another size in between. And I want that shirt. I want it. I deserve it. It's mine. And she could tell, and I wasn't yelling at her. I was just like, but she could just tell the disappointment, you know? And so she got, I got a hand to her, man. She was just like, hey, I'm going out to do these errands. Would you like me to look at some shirts for you? I mean, that was so cool. I mean, that's my best imitation. She's got such a sweet voice. And so I'm just saying, I wasn't making fun of her. I'm just saying, that was so cool. But you know what I did? I'm like, no! No, no, I'll find one. I'll find my shirt because I deserve to find it. This is just, you see, this is, it's in there. It's selfishness. It was about me. I mean, she was like, no, I can actually, and she, you know, she's better at shopping than I am. Let's just be real. What I told her, I said, no, I'm not going out there with you. I've got other things to do here. And, you know, you're just going to bring them back here. They're not going to fit me. We'll be right back where we are. You know, mine just, I'm a sinner. And so I just, and finally, when I was out of the kitchen and I had come down off my little cloud, the Lord just like, go have her do that, will you? I'm like, oh, but I'll have to admit defeat. And it's not like she was against me. I didn't feel like she was against me, but it was just like, you know, it was against my pride. And I was like, Linda, would you mind looking at some shirts for me when you go out? And this is one of them. Right here. Isn't it awesome? Yeah. I gotta tell you, the whole thing is, I ordered 3 more of shirts from that online retailer thinking that they're gonna fit. So now I gotta take them all back. But I tell you that because in my heart, there's just that, I wanted it to be about me. I felt like I deserve that. I got to have that. You know, it's just a shirt. I mean, it's okay to want a shirt. I get that. But, you know, this was over the top. This was, I mean, you know when there's a little idol clinging to your heart and the Holy Spirit shows it to you? Oh, he was showing me. That shirt was an idol. I mean, this shirt's not an idol. I mean, she got it. It's all good. But I'm saying, God wants to set us free from that. Free from selfishness. And it takes a lifetime. He'll use all kinds of things to do it. All kinds of things to root out that selfish heart within us. But it takes the Holy Spirit, you guys. It takes the Holy Spirit. We've got to look, seek. We've got to seek him. We've got to say, Lord, help me. But God gave me the grace to say, Lord, because I just knew the internal thing that was going on in my brain. I mean, you know, at that time, and I was like, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. And that was grace. That was the grace of God. Because there'd be times where I might have just, you know, just been mad and, you know, that's it. But God is good. God is good. And he tells us here.
God's not going to command something that we can't do by his grace, you know. He tells us to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. And he tells us to put on this mind of Christ, this humility. By his grace, we can, okay? But not without the Holy Spirit filling us, okay? All right? Now, the other thing, besides security and safety and harmony, is tranquility. I can't think of a better word. This is like, it's basically being free from pests, okay? If you raise sheep, there are things called nose flies. Now, that is just gross. That's not a nose fly. There's a story behind that fly right there. Nose flies and these other flies. I mean, you read that book, you know, you'll see he talks about these flies. And have you ever been to the county fair? You've been in the hog barn and you've been in the, there's flies, and you just see the fly. I mean, you're going to go crazy. They are such a pest. You know, the sheep probably just want to run away, you know? And because they're such a pest and they're constantly nagging. Now, this fly right here has a story. No, well, not this specific one. Does anybody know what kind of a fly that is? What's that? Not a house fly. Nope. Deer fly. Yes, I hate deer flies. I remember the first time I learned about deer flies, and that's why it's up there, okay? There are such pests. Okay, the first time I learned what a deer fly was, I was along the banks of the Little Miami outside a little town called Port Jefferson, okay, which is outside Sydney. And if you don't know where that's at, then don't worry, okay? So walking along the banks of this river, helping my dad, we had like 4 acres near that river. And we're doing some kind of work. I don't even remember what it was. But I just remember this kind of fly bit me and kept after me. I mean, you should have seen me. I don't know what I was, 10 or 12. I was running around. The thing was just chasing me, you know? I mean, it's not like a house fly, it'll just kind of go away. Yeah, this thing, oh no, he's honed in, he's locked in. It's like, you know, it's just like, you know, Top Gun. Well, we got him locked in, you know? There's Greg Berlau. Hit him, you know? And they hurt. And it was driving me crazy. And I'm thinking, just like probably those sheep, it was a pest. And so what I learned was, there was a guy up there. At first, I thought he was a little Looney Tunes. But my dad knew him, and he lived up there. And he'd always have like a branch hanging around. And I'm like, why has he got a branch? Now I know. He would just do this. You know, I'm like, whoa, got to get one of those. And so he knew how to deal with the pests, right? And so I just, you know, when you look at this, think about this sheep. You know, what are the pests in our lives? The one I wanted to just think about was worry. Oh, man. Our brains can get locked in on something that just so life-consuming, and the worries just consume us, and it's like a pest. It keeps coming back, you know? And we have to, and we need the Lord to help us to be free from worry. I mean, obviously, there's a difference somehow between concern and worry. We want to be concerned for certain things, but worry, I think, is a more consuming thing, right? I've heard it called negative meditation, right? If you meditate on something, you're focusing on it, and usually you think of meditation as being a positive thing, but you're meditating on the negative. You're focused on the negative. You're worried, right? But the Lord doesn't want us to be in that place. He wants to provide for us a freedom from worry. I need you guys to advance that slide for me, if you will. Annie, please. Thank you. Has anybody seen this painting? It's hard to kind of see. It's a little washed out, but it's by Rembrandt. It's the storm on the Sea of Galilee. It's hard to see, but down here, there's a guy in the boat. He's losing his cookies over the side there. And you remember this, right? This situation here it's in several places. Matthew 8 is one of those. And Jesus is asleep in the boat, right? And the disciples are like, What's going on? He's asleep in the boat. How can he not? We're going to die. You know, and all this, you know, they got all these people just going crazy trying to save their lives, right? Jesus is just, he's calm. He's just, he's asleep. So I want us to go there when we and take a look at that, okay? Take a look at Matthew chapter 8 here, just a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 8. Again, and this is in several of the Gospels. Am I just moving around too much, or is it hot in here? Am I going through a change? I don't know what it is going on up here. Okay, Matthew 8, 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him and said, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?" And you look at that situation, that Jesus purposely took his disciples on a boat ride in which he certainly knew there's going to be a storm, right? And he leads us into storms, difficulties, or whatever. But what we need to remember, though, is that he's in control. He shows these guys, he can make the winds and the sea just die like that and be calm just to thinking it, right? The winds and the waves obey him, right? And I think sometimes we forget who we know. We forget who our shepherd is. We forget that he's Almighty God. And that whatever this worry is, this pest in our lives, that he's going to take care of us regardless of what comes down the line. We're often so afraid of, you know, one of the biggest things we're afraid of is our future. We don't know what the future holds. You know, we don't know what's around the bend. We don't know what storm's coming, but what we do, what we can have great comfort in if we realize that the shepherd is in the boat with us and he is in total control. Nothing has crept up on him. And so if I could just hang on to that image of that shepherd in the boat saying, okay, well, I know that in my mind I'm freaking out, but God's got it. Whatever the outcome, he's going to help me. He's going to help me deal with it. Help me go through it. He might even cause it to cease. He might cause the storm to go away. He can do that. But sometimes he's just going to ride it through with us. He doesn't always remove the bad things from our lives. I mean, I don't know what world people are living in if they think that. They've been sold a lie if they say you become a Christian and all your problems go away. That's a lie. But Jesus is right there with us, and we have to remember that. And this picture from Rembrandt just reminds me of that. Those pests, those worries, those things that can drive us crazy and keep us up at night, the Lord is with us in the storm right there. Now, the last thing I just want to mention here is that the fourth thing that a sheep needs if they're going to lie down. So what was the first one? Do you remember? Safety and security. What was the second one? Harmony, right? Third one? Freedom from pests, right? Right, tranquility. Now, this is the fourth one. Fullness, just being free from hunger, right? Being satisfied, right? Just being satisfied. You know, just knowing I'm not going to have to search out for food somewhere as a sheep, and that, you know, it's my shepherd who's going to satisfy me. And when you think about this idea of fullness spiritually, think about as our satisfaction. Our satisfaction, our sense of just, he's all I need. He's my everything. The Lord Jesus, my shepherd. He is the one. So, let's take a look at John here. I was going to show a video clip, but I'm going to skip it. Let's go to John. figure out where I'm going. I think it's John 4. Yeah, John chapter 4. So you know where it says? So it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, right? This is how he's going to provide the necessity to satisfy me in every way, right? As you think about sheep, you think about food and water, green pastures, still waters, right? Got good water, got good food to eat, satisfied sheep is going to lay down, be at rest, be at peace, regardless of what's going on. And so here we have Jesus with the woman at the well, right? And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he just asks her to give him a drink, right? He's starting this conversation. And of course, you know, Jews aren't supposed to mix with Samaritans, you know, the societal rules there. And so, and she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. And then Jesus said to her, verse 13, John 4:13, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He's like, I'm the well. You know, okay, I get that. That's gonna satisfy you here temporarily, and you need that water. I get it physically. But what you really need, ultimately, Jesus is saying, is me. I am the one who will satisfy your every thirst. You know how at the beginning, how was I saying, you know, we need to see that we need to constantly look to the shepherd to satisfy all these needs, right? Got to look to the shepherd. And looking to our relationship with Jesus, as we are connected to him, you know, but we are connected to him by faith. We put our faith in him. But I'm just saying there is a maintaining in this relationship, you guys. On our side of things, we need to be with him, right? If we're going to continue to drink from him, all right? It's like, you know, yes, we have a relationship with him, we're one of his sheep, but we need to see that he is the living water, okay? Actually, in John chapter 7, he even talks about how that water is the Spirit, okay? It's living water. You'll never thirst again. In other words, if you keep going to that fountain, you'll never thirst again. It's just, he is it. The Lord Jesus, our relationship with him is ultimate and has to be first place in our lives above all things. Because when that's the case, then we're seeking and we're looking to him to meet all these needs. We're seeking, we're searching, we're constantly. You know, I think that my impression and some of my reading of the early Christians is that they had set times of the day they prayed. Set times of the day they prayed. And I think, again, I'm speculating here. You know, these are connection points. These are reminders, right? So maybe for you it's in the first part of the day, maybe it's in the last part of the day, maybe it's in the middle of the day, maybe it's all three. But we have to constantly be seeking and looking to him. And I think the more we drift from that, then we will not be able to be settled down and at rest and receive his care. It's like he's giving us a gift, himself, right? I mean, we got to just set aside the gift of salvation for a second. I'm talking about receiving all that Jesus has for us, okay? And through his Spirit, he says, you can drink of me, right? And you'll never thirst again. And then he uses the analogy later, John chapter 6, where he says, I am the bread. I am the bread. I'm the bread of life. Taste of me, you'll never be hungry again. And again, I think we know the theology, if you've been around your Bible or been around this church, that Jesus is it, man. Jesus provides everything we need. He is the good shepherd. All right? He provides for our spiritual nourishment. And so we have to stay connected, right? That abiding thing in John 15 again, that resting in him and trusting in him. And I think it takes some regular times, you know, daily to make sure that we're trusting and relying, because, I, you know, 5 minutes can go by and my mind's way worrying on something else again. And I pray this. I pray this for all of us, that God would give us the, grant us the grace, if you will, to have the presence of mind to recognize when we're worrying, when we're not trusting Him, when we're not relying on Him. Because if we can, by God's grace, recognize that, then we can readjust, can't we? I mean, I use that little stupid analogy of the shirt, you know. And it was God's grace, I think, that just helped me to realize I needed Linda's help. I needed her help. We need the Lord's help every moment, every day. And I just think we need to pray right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the promises you give us. I think this promise here in Psalm 34, just what a wonderful promise, says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you as saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Oh, Lord, that's the promise we rest on today. You are the one. It's you we need. Lord, let us run from anyone or anything else that's taking us away from you, causing us to not want to rely on you. Lord, let us set aside our phones that were such a distraction to us. Help us to be focused on you, to be quiet before you, like it says, be still and know that I am God, to know your presence in that moment and to hear your voice. Lord, grant us the grace for that to be the way we are, is in a constant state of seeking you, remaining in you, leaning into you, seeking you, looking to you for every need. A full-on reliance. Lord, and when we don't do it, let us, grant us the grace of repentance and grant us the grace to get back up and say, "Lord, I need you." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.